But we're talking about being in conversation with God. And we've talked about why we should pray. We've talked about how we should pray. We briefly talked about fasting. We've talked about praying together, the power of corporate prayer. We've talked about the ministry of being individual watchmen and also of corporately being a house of prayer. Last week, we talked about praying with the Holy Spirit. And today, we're particularly looking at that part of prayer, the part that prayer has in bringing change, in bringing change. So my first point today is partnership. On the screen, you've got that picture, famous picture from the Sistine Chapel, where God and Adam reach out to each other and there's just a little gap between their fingers. And, you know, God always intended to have a partnership with mankind. God has always wanted to work with us, or shall we say for us to work with him. And prayer is this incredible way that God says, come on then, be part of what I'm doing. Pray, engage with me. This is an amazing opportunity that we have to get involved directly with God in prayer. God looks for us to partner with him. There are a number of businesses that say Fred Bloggs and Sons outside. You've seen this, haven't you? Whatever the name is, Fred Bloggs and Sons. And some of these people haven't had any sons. Some of them haven't had any daughters. But the business is called that because the idea is the business will survive after they've died and it will be passed on. But with God, God has sons and daughters, and he wants to work with us now. He isn't just putting a name up there and saying, well, in the fullness of time, we will all work together, hallelujah. But he wants us to partner with him today. You know, genuinely today, we can partner with God for his kingdom. We can partner with God for success. We can partner with God for salvation of souls. You know, I'm just so impressed that between 1 and 2 yesterday, it didn't rain in Parliament Street. Because we prayed very specifically, Lord, between 1 and 2, no prayer. No prayer. Oh, Lord, help me. No rain for 1 hour. And Sentimu got up there at 1 and it was just a bit of drizzle. And he waved his hand in the air and says, you stop it! And it stopped. And, you know, it didn't start again till 2 minutes past 2 when we were supposed to have already finished. And I'd agreed with God he could start the rain at 2. I mean, I did say that to God. And at 2:02 it started to rain and they decided, yeah, well, actually we should have finished by now. And so we finished. Amen. But it was wonderful. And God wants us to partner with him. And why is it that at One Voice, when we said, on Wednesday, they said the weather forecast for Saturday is awful. It's going to rain torrentially. And everybody in the room turned round and looked at me and said, Stephen, it's up to you to sort the weather out. Yeah, no pressure. What a big deal that is. You know, all these vicars, some of them with the clerical surplices on and all this, and they turn round and look at little Steve Redman and say, oh, it's up to you to sort the weather out. But you know, we sorted the weather out. And we need to be people who are bold and brave because we're partnering with God. You see, actually, here's the bad news, everybody. I cannot stop the weather. But God can, and I'm partnering with God. Amen. And so can you. And, you know, we shouldn't be put off by little things like, oh, well, we need some good weather for an hour. Because, actually, it's not a problem to God. And we need to be of that mind that we are praying, that we are in partnership with God. Agree with God. Push his agenda as far as you want to, because it's his. You can push it as far as you want in prayer. And that's all that Elijah did. Elijah read God's agenda. It said, if you turn away from me and worship other gods, I will seal the heavens and there will be no rain on your crops and you will experience drought and famine. The first 5 books of the Old Testament, they say that. The Pentateuch says that. Elijah had read that. So He pushed God's agenda in prayer and face to face with King Ahab. And he goes up to King Ahab and says, at my word, it will not rain for these next few years. I mean, that's not like me praying for an hour, is it? You know, at my word, it will not rain for an hour. It's a lot more faith to say for 3 years. But you know, we need to push the boat out with God because we're in partnership with him. Elijah knew God. He knew God was offended by what was going on. And he knew he had the word of God to support him in this, pushing this boat out that he was going to say, right, it's not going to rain now for a few years. And it didn't rain for 3 years. And it only rained when he prayed. And we need to understand that we can change things by partnership with God. It's very important that we are in partnership with God. My second point today is prayer saves lives. Now, I want you to be quite serious with me for a moment now. Prayer genuinely saves lives. Through prayer, we can really change people's circumstances and we can save their lives. You see, Abraham in Genesis that we had read to us, he negotiates with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. God says to God, you know, God's there, there's three of them. I mean, we're not quite sure whether that is the Trinity or whether it's God and a couple of angels because we're not absolutely certain. But God's there and God says, should we tell Abraham what we intend to do? Yeah, come on. Abraham's going to be a great man of God. He's going to be fantastic for generationally. People are going to look back on him and say he was the father of all who had faith. We ought to just bring Abraham in on what we're doing. And so he says, well, I'm on my way now to see if Sodom and Gomorrah is as bad as everyone tells me it is. And if it is, it's going. And Abraham immediately stands up for Sodom and Gomorrah and he negotiates with God. He says, what if there's only 50 people there? Yeah, are you going to destroy the rest just because there's only 50 people that fear God there? And he gets down to 10. And God says, no, I won't destroy the place for 10. Of course, when he gets there, there isn't 10. There's actually Lot and his daughters and his wife, and his daughters are engaged to men who don't fear God and they get left behind. His wife doesn't really fear God. She turns to a pillar of salt. Lot and his daughters escape, and I'm not really sure that God had really that Lot's daughters had really engaged with God. But Lot feared God. And, you know, how important is it that Lot was saved? Lot was saved. And Abraham, his prayer, engaging with God, he marshalled God over this. And he made sure that God saved people that should be saved. And you know something? We can save the lives of people in York. You can save the lives of people that you work with. You can save the lives of people that you meet at the school gates, that you meet in the shops. You can save the lives of people that you meet casually by praying for their souls. How important is it that we pray for people? It's one thing to witness, it's one thing to talk to them about Jesus, but how important it is that we pray for them first, and we pray for them after, and that we cover the whole thing with prayer, and that we keep on praying. I used to witness to a mate of mine at school from being 11. We were in the same class from 11 to 18. And I used to talk to him about Jesus, and I used to pray for him, and you would have said, I got nowhere. I left school, that was it. I got nowhere. But I invited him to our wedding when I was 23, so we hadn't, I mean, we'd sort of bumped into each other a couple of times from leaving school to was getting married, but he came to the wedding, and I continued to pray for him. And then One day, out of the blue, he rang me up and said, Steve, I just wanted you to know, I've given my life to Jesus. And he had been walking down a street in Reading, and he was feeling so low, feeling so alone, feeling depressed, and he said, God, you gave Steve that wife, and they've got everything that I want. What could you do for me? And as he walked past this church that had the doors open, he heard lively singing, and so he bravely walked in. And today, he's still a member of that Carey Baptist Church in Reading, still a member, even though most of the time he's living in the Far East, working in the same job he's had ever since he left school. But, you know, if I'd have given up on him, maybe we wouldn't have seen the breakthrough that we saw in his life. And, you know, I'm not saying he's a perfect guy. None of us are. But God has done something in him. And I want you to know that if you start praying for somebody when you're 11 and they get saved when you're 25, that's an answer to prayer. That was an answer to prayer for me. And we need to be not quite so short-sighted in our praying. We need to remember that prayer saves lives. It saves lives eternally, and it can save lives today. You know, when I was walking home the other night, this week, the other afternoon, I saw a man who looked just strange, really. He looked like he was about to collapse, but he was sort of propping himself up very weirdly. And two other people got to him before me, but I got to him. And the other two said to me, it's all right, we've got him, he's fine. And so I left him, but I didn't leave him without praying. And I don't know what's happened to that guy, but how could I have walked away without praying? And how could you walk away without praying? You never know whose life is going to be saved by the power of your prayer. What about Moses in Exodus 32? It says this, the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people. That what's happened is Moses has just come down from the mount and they've got the calf idol. And he's dropped the stones and they've smashed everywhere. And God says to Moses, I've seen this people. They're a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger can burn against them and I can destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Now, first of all, notice how God says to Moses to leave him alone so his anger can burn. Now, think about that. The onus is on you not to leave God alone. You can influence God by your prayers. Don't leave him alone. Be like that importunate widow who did not leave that judge alone until she got justice. Don't leave God alone. But Moses interceded with the Lord his God. Lord, why does your anger burn against your people? You brought out the land of Egypt with great power and a strong hand. Why should the Egyptians say, he brought them out with an evil intent to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn your great anger and change your mind about this disaster. Remember that you swore to your servants Abraham, Isaac and Israel by yourself and declared to them, I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and will give your offspring all this land that I have promised and they will inherit it forever. So the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he said he would bring on people. Please don't ever say to me, God cannot change his mind. There are all types of different theologies of God, and you know I've talked to you about them from time to time. But please do not put this on me or anyone in this church that you cannot change the mind of God. Abraham changed the mind of God. Moses changed the mind of God. You can change the mind of God. We are men and women just like they were. It says of Elijah, he was a man just like us, and we are people like them. What if your prayer was the one thing that was lacking in someone's journey to Christ? you'd had influence in their lives, you'd spoken to them, you knew them, and you hadn't prayed for them. What if that was the reason they didn't come to Christ? I'm not trying to manipulate you this morning, but I am asking you if you would just think about this. Because your praying makes such a difference, it can change people's lives. Let's have the third slide. Prayer changes things. On the slide, you've got five little loaves and two fish. And the prayer of Jesus changed that so that it became 12 baskets left over and 5,000 men and probably 5,000 women and probably 5,000 children fed as well. And that's a change. And this morning, I want to encourage you, your prayer really does change things. It really does. It really does. It changes people's lives. Look at June. We were praying for June when she had a stroke. She could have been dead. But we prayed and she's with us today. And I thank God that she's with us. Isn't it good to have June with us? You know, we pray for people. We prayed for Kath. And Kath is doing really well. You know, Kath has had so many issues. But we have prayed and she's still with us. We prayed for so many of you. And think about it. God is with you. Yes, we've been through some trials together. We've been through some pain. We've been through some rough stuff. But God is with us. And that's because of prayer. People have prayed for you. I thank God for the people that prayed for me when I was a little boy. People prayed for me because they knew that I was living in a threat condition at home, living with a mentally ill mother. And I have to say, one person said to me, you know, I was always praying for you as a little boy because I knew that you were in danger at home. And I often wondered, well, I wish they'd actually said something to somebody else and got me pulled out of there. But all the same, their prayer was maybe the thing that saved me. What about that day when my father was still alive, and he was at work, so I maximum could have been five, but in my memory I would have said I was four, and my mother was trying to beat me up, and I managed to get myself in my bedroom and drag a bedroom cupboard in front of the door, and I wasn't five, and I managed to do that. And I stayed there on my knees repeating the Lord's Prayer because I'd heard it said in Catholic Church and it was all I knew. And I carried on doing that until my dad came home. And then he managed to force the door open, move the cupboard back and look after me. And you know, prayer changes things. My prayer to God enabled me to move a chest of drawers when I was four. And that tells you something. But prayer changes stuff. You're in a position, you're in a predicament, you're facing all sorts of issues, then pray! Because prayer changes things. And you might say, well, I've been praying now for a long while. Well, pray a long while longer. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Because prayer changes things. And if we pray knowing that prayer changes things, if we pray believing that prayer changes things, we will see more change. We have seen people taken to court in this country for expressing their Christian faith, and we have seen breakthroughs. Others are still going through the court system. The Ashers at the moment are still going through the court system about that cake that someone asked them to make, support gay marriage, which is illegal in Northern Ireland where they live, and they felt they shouldn't promote something illegal, that it was against their religion as well, which they're quite open about, and they lost the court case, and they were ordered to pay compensation, substantial compensation, to this gay man who'd asked them to make this cake. And, you know, they're still going through the appeal system right now. What if they do not win their appeal? Well, it sets a precedent. And we will all pay the price for that precedent. What if they don't win the appeal because you don't pray for them? We need to take the responsibility that we have to pray. I realize that some people don't know about these things. Not everyone can pray for them. I know that. But what I'm saying is take hold of things that matter to you and bring them to God. Pray. Pray continually. Pray. Remember to pray for the Ashers. Remember to pray for your pastor. He's quite a nice guy, actually. But pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for this church. Don't just forget it until next Sunday and then rush in and say, oh, I was going to pray. Oh, Lord, just bless this church, amen, and get singing. But let's be people of prayer this week. Let's change things. How are we ever going to see a miracle that feeds 15,000 people, 5,000 people, leaves 12 baskets left over? Unless we become people of prayer. We need to be people who pray because prayer changes things. Fourth slide is this. Pray specifically. And you can see I've got ahead of myself because that's the slide of the ashes. When you're praying, pray specifically. You know, we often teach our kids to pray specifically. We pray, you hear them praying at the bedside, Lord Jesus, bless Daddy, bless Mummy, bless Grandpa, bless Grandad. But we ourselves do not often follow that pattern. We need to pray specifically. Lord, I pray that the Ashers will win this appeal. Lord, I pray that your people in this nation will not be have the law against them for what they believe. And Lord, I pray that we will have greater influence in the city of York, greater influence with the council, greater influence with our two MPs, greater influence. You know, there are so many of these things that we can pray for, but please pray specifically. Why not take on a couple of key things as your prayer projects? Why not do that? Because you know something, when you see the answers, it will encourage you so much. You can say, well, I think I did pray for them once. But if you've made it a prayer project and said, well, I'm going to pray for June. I'm going to pray for June every day until she's got full use of her left side. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because when June does have full use of her left side, you will be able to say, yes, I prayed for that, June. I was praying for you every day and God has answered my prayer. And, you know, we ought to be very specific in what we ask God, because then we'll specifically know that God's answered, won't we? Really, that's how we ought to look at it. Pray for the trustees. Pray for Jayam, for Pauline, for Paul. Hi, Paul. Pray for the trustees. Pray for the leadership team, which consists of the trustees, plus Libby, Jonathan, Kelvin, Karen. Pray for the leadership team. These are people that are making decisions that influence the way we go forward. Pray for them. Pray for each other. Just as you walk in through Tesco's or going to work and all of a sudden Juliet flashes into your mind, just pray for Juliet. Pray for Kelvin. Pray for Eddie. You know, we need to keep praying for people. And we need to pray specifically. My second to last point this morning is pray aggressively. Just refuse to let go.
Amen. Storm heaven.
Amen, brother. Storm heaven, Jayam says. You know, why should we accept a failure? The Ashers, which I'm using as my big example this morning, I know, when they lost their first case, a lot of Christians gave up praying. Well, we've lost another one now. We're just committed now to being an underdogs in society. Oh, we're just now going to be persecuted. It's going to get worse and worse until the secret police come and knock at our doors and take us all away. And, you know, people began to talk themselves down. But some people said, I'm not accepting this. Lord Jesus, I know we've lost this case. I'm praying that this will be taken to appeal, that there will be money to take it to appeal. Because that's the problem, of course. There has to be money. Lord, will you provide the money for this appeal? And Lord, will you turn this around at appeal? And that's where we're at now. That's where we're praying now. We're praying specifically. But I tell you what, we're praying aggressively. I am not letting God go on this. And I am not letting the devil have a victory on this just because Christians refused to bake a cake carrying a message which was illegal in that country. Why should we sit down and take it? Well, sometimes you've just got to take it on the chin. No, you do not have to sometimes take it on the chin. Sometimes you need to pick yourself up on the floor and start praying again. Pray aggressively. I don't care if you've been told you're going to be dead in 3 weeks. Pray aggressively. Pray aggressively. And let's all join with you. Let's partner with God and pray aggressively for you. Because prayer changes things. And we don't give up until there is, like David, Solomon, sorry, who lost his son. And then, at that, it's David. It was David. It wasn't Solomon. David and Bathsheba. And David is there praying and fasting. But then when the child dies, David gets up and refreshes himself and eats. But he stayed in prayer until the moment he lost it. And you know, that old situation would not have been there if it wasn't for David's sin. But David continued to pray. And we need to continue to pray, even if it's because of our sin that the position we're in. Remember that, because God shows mercy, and we should pray the mercy of God on us. So pray aggressively. God is love. Pray his love into this earth. Remember, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. We are trustees of this planet, not the devil. This is not his realm, it is our realm. And we need to take aggressive steps to make sure that the will of God comes about. Don't give up. And don't give me all these wimpy prayers about, oh Lord, if it's your will. Of course it's God's will. It's God's will for you to pray. It's God's will for you to uphold his kingdom. And if it isn't God's will, then God will forgive you. But keep on praying aggressively. My last point this morning is the prayers of the elders. James talks to us about a scenario in chapter 5. He said, is any one of you suffering? He should pray. So the first thing is, there's an onus on you to pray for yourself. Now you might not like to hear that, but it's true. There is an onus on you to pray for yourself. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The intense prayer of the righteous is very powerful. And then it goes on and tells us about Elijah was a man just like us. The onus is on you to pray for you, but the onus is also on you to call for prayer for yourself. Call for the elders. You know, we always make place on Sunday morning, and we're going to do that now, where you can be prayed for. Don't wait for whoever's leading the service, or the pastor, or one of the trustees or the leadership team to come up to you and say, would you like us to pray for you? We will do that from time to time. But you ask. Ask for prayer. And we will pray for you. And do you know what? There's faith amongst us. I believe, and God will raise you up. And we will pray until you are healed. And so, don't forget that this is something that has been left for us historically in the church. It's biblical. It's something that we should invoke, the prayer of the elders. If you are too ill to get out of bed, call for the elders. And one of us will always come and pray with you. And you need to understand that God is for you, and prayer changes things, and powerfully too. So, today, I just want to say this to you in conclusion. We can prayerfully expect change. We can be initiators of change. Because we have a realm of charge for this sphere in which we live. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go you, therefore. Go in the authority that God has given you, that Jesus gives you. Go in his authority. Speak for him. Bring his kingdom about. And when I say speak for him, I'm not saying stand up on a soapbox on the street corner. What I'm saying is speak to God. Talk to God. Invoke God's power over our nation. Invoke the kingdom. We need to see the kingdom come. When the kingdom comes, there'll be nobody with left sides that don't work properly, because everybody will be healed. And we need to see the kingdom of God come right now. And I want you to know that it all is hanging on you. No pressure. This is hanging on you. If you will pray, the kingdom of God will come. If I'll pray, we need to pray. We need to pray corporately and we need to pray separately. You need to be the person that is working for our nation, our city, our church. You need to be that person, and you can do that alone in your room. You can do it on your bike. You can do it in the car. You can do it wherever you are, because God is with you and you have the right and authority to invoke the name of Jesus and to bring change by your prayers. Don't give up. Don't panic if you don't get an answer instantly. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. The other day I was praying for somebody, and literally, as I'd said amen, the phone rang and it was them. And they rang me to say, Stephen, I just wanted to let you know that thing I talked to you about the other day, it's all sorted. And I said to them, well, I was literally praying for you when you rang me. And you know something? We need to be that person who is praying. And you don't have to be a full-time employee of this church to be able to pray. You can pray in between other stuff, which is actually how the full-time employee of this church prays. Prays between other stuff. And you need to be a person who prays between other stuff as well. Would you like to bow your heads with me? Father, we believe that prayer changes things, and we want to be instruments of change in your hands. Father, we believe and know that you are God. Lord Jesus, we recognize that you have commissioned us to go into all of this world. And Lord, we believe that you have told us to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And this morning, Lord, we are just saying before you now, we want to recommit to being people who will ask, seek and knock. Father, we want to just say to you today, we want to really take hold of being a people of prayer, a house of prayer, watchmen of prayer. We want to be those people who will believe and know that change comes when we pray. Father, we thank you that you listen to your people. We thank you that you listen to Abraham, you listen to Moses, you listen to Elijah. We thank you that you listen to Jesus. We thank you listen to Paul, you listen to Peter. We thank you today that you listen to Christina, you listen to Graham, you listen to Jason, you listen to Nigel, you listen to Jonathan, you listen to Ariel, you listen to Karen, you listen to June, you listen to Melody, you listen to Pauline, you listen to Juliet, you listen to Mary, you listen to Jayam, you even listen to me. And Father, I thank you that you engage with us, partnering with us for the gospel, for the kingdom to come. And Lord, today we just pray that we might be people who see your kingdom come this week. So Father, we're asking you these things. We're asking you that we might get lots of women in this church to this Pamper events. We're asking you, Lord, that we might get the unchurched in to hear us sing at Celebrate. And Lord, we're asking you that this week we might engage with people and that we might believe that when we talk to them about church that they might be interested. And that we might be able to talk with you until their hearts are softened enough to receive the gospel. And Lord, we pray for people that we went to school with. We pray for people that we've worked with in the past. We pray, Lord, for names and faces that come to our mind right now. But as we do these things, we do so saying we will not let go until they find you. And Lord Jesus, we just pray right now that your power will overflow out of us, into this church, into this city, out of our lives, touching other people, influencing them for good. And Father, we thank you that we don't have to be Mr. Super Christian to be a man of prayer, to be a woman of prayer. We can just talk to you, and in conversation, we can be people who change the world. We thank you, Lord, that it's told of us of the early apostles that these were the men who turned the world upside down in one generation. And Lord, we're asking you now, in our generation, would you make us also people who by prayer will turn the world upside down? We ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.